Hey everyone, welcome to Corner Flags. Here it's Max, I'm with Elisa and Jono today, and we're going to be focusing on various topics today. Let's start with the Champions League, I think, as we have like some interesting finals. The Champions League was pretty crazy this year. I don't think we've had the crazy games like this for a long time. So let's focus a little bit on that. Elisa, you want to start?
Sure, I mean, I'm still disappointed. I wanted the two other teams to go through.
Me too.
Absolutely. Me too. I think no one is going to be happy about that. I mean, no, yes. A lot of people are going to be very happy about that final. All the Liverpool fans,
yeah. Actually, you know, I did see a Tottenham guy on the TV recently who was basically just freaking out. He was like, I don't care how much money it costs me. I don't care if my wife leaves me. I will be in Madrid and I will be at that final.
I mean, that's fair. He's
like, Tottenham for... he was probably, in his like late 50s, early 60s. He's like, I've been watching Tottenham my whole life. This is our biggest chance. I've never seen this before. It's never going to happen again. Fuck my wife, I'm going.
I had exactly the same thing.
It was amazing.
Exactly the same thing, because with my work, I have a fan of Tottenham.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He was exactly the same thing. He was like, I don't care. Tottenham is a loser team. We'll never win anything. For once I'm going in the final, I'm going to Madrid.
I mean, they're not wrong. You got to take the chance when you get it.
No.
Absolutely.
You
I would
do
that too.
100%. You got the money. You got a credit card. You're going.
You do. And also the nice things about them, though, is that two managers that said that they were playing so good, but they can't win anything with their respective teams, and finally one of them is actually going to win something with it.
And I do actually respect both of those managers quite a bit.
I think
they're very, very good managers.
You know, I really want Tottenham to win that one, because A, fuck Liverpool.
Oh,
but
by the way, if you don't know, Elisa
Tottenham,
is a Manchester fan.
Yeah, just so we're clear, everyone knows.
Manchester United, not the good Manchester,
the
other
better
one.
Team?
Yeah.
Yes.
Debatable.
Better.
By far the best. Fuck Liverpool, but also Liverpool's won it. It'll be interesting to see Tottenham win it. They're gonna go fucking nuts if they win it.
Yeah, but Liverpool does deserve a title this year, though. If they can't win that one, then it's like...
Wow.
Liverpool deserve nothing,
for
always.
For what they did in the league to finish second with 97 points.
That's ridiculous,
yeah.
I think it's a record. Huh?
And
so.
Also, I love the fact that they only ever finished second. It makes me very happy.
I have to disagree there. I mean, I'd rather see them win than City. But you know how much I hate City.
See, here's the thing. City's already won it, so it's like, eh, whatever, they won it recently. Liverpool, they just can't win it, and it makes me so happy that they continue to fail.
I was devastated for them. I love Klopp. I love the way they play.
They're playing this game.
Same thing. Like, it's kind of nice that they actually don't win it. It's been 30 years now.
Yeah.
30 years of
I
not
know.
Winning the league. And they were above Manchester United before those 30 years.
I know.
Of winning the league. That's quite cool. Even Chelsea is catching up on them.
And
so.
Sir Alex Ferguson happened. And then all of that changed.
Oh, I saw a stat recently on like managers who've won major tournaments and like major trophies, and it was on Reddit, someone posted it. And it was, so it had like all the ones, you've got Pep and you've got all of this. The gulf between Sir Alex and literally everybody else,
no,
it's like 20 trophies.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, even Pep, that is really on a good course to catch him at some point, is like so far behind.
I know.
So
he and he was like, I think it was the list of the top 10. He was like 8 or 9. Like, he was pretty close to the bottom, but he's still early in his career and he's still young, so there's time. But then he keeps saying that he wants to retire and actually have a regular life. Sir Alex went till he was, what, 75?
Yeah, I think so. And then he retired and then came back as well at some point. So Alex, no?
Yeah, he announced his retirement and then just didn't do it.
That's beautiful.
But if you hear the story of like the year he actually retired, you get why he did it. So the first time he tried to retire, and apparently his wife was like, please do not do this. Then the second time, his wife had a twin sister, and she died, and that's when he retired.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then he's focusing on other stuff. Like, I would love, like, I know that he has a course at Harvard that he did.
Mm.
He co-hosted with a leadership person in Harvard.
I know, that would be interesting.
I want to listen to that one so bad. I know you can have it on the internet. You can
probably actually
find it easily on the internet.
I
would love to see that.
Yeah, me too.
People
talk
a lot, though, about how like things have changed in the football world and if he would still be as effective of a manager.
I think,
of like the social profile and the Instagram and the...
I think so, though, because from what I saw following that team for a long time, I think he was able to adapt to what was changing around him. And I saw him manage a lot of different types of players as well.
And he did it over 20 years.
And he was always very good with the young players as well.
He was.
So I think if anybody...
Yeah, but the new generation is so different, and that's where you see, like, with Mourinho, like we were discussing the other day.
Yes, but I see Alex as being someone who can adapt better than Mourinho. Mourinho's kind of the kind of guy where, okay, if your personalities mesh, he's going to get along great with you.
And you're going to have the best relationship ever, yeah.
But if they don't, it's a disaster. Whereas Ferguson, I saw manage a lot of different kinds of young players.
But there were players that he had disasters with. I mean, Bex at the end.
It always happens.
Yeah.
With, you know, to everybody, with some people. But
actually,
I think
to be fair, him and Bex still have a lot of respect for each other. So, I mean, it faded manager-wise, but not personally.
I mean, in general, I think he was very good at that. He was always very good at that. And then even someone like Ronaldo, who a lot of managers have said he's very difficult to coach. When you hear him talk about Alex, he's always like, this is the guy who taught me football. He was like my football father.
He was the best one.
Yeah. So he was definitely a special manager.
Okay, let's move on.
Sorry,
no, go ahead.
I was going to say the most interesting one was his relationship with Eric Cantona. Because somewhere along the line, he was just like, this guy is amazing and I love him. And just Eric Cantona, kicked a guy once?
Yeah.
He got in trouble, but not really with Sir Alex. Sir Alex was still like, nah, this guy I respect. This one I like. And I find that relationship one of the most interesting ones to look at because he was so showboaty. And usually that's what he hated.
Yeah.
But for some reason, Cantona, he was okay with that one.
Mm.
Anyway.
I don't know why. What are your predictions for that game then? If you have to put a score.
I mean, this season the only team Liverpool lost to was what, City?
Yeah.
They tied Everton, but they lost to City. That was the only one.
Yeah.
So you got to put them as favorites, even though I don't want to.
I have to agree. I have to say my gut is telling me Liverpool's a little bit better. I could see them perhaps scoring more goals.
But Tottenham have Son back now for this game, right, for the final.
And Kane.
And Harry Kane.
Is Kane coming
back?
Expected to be back, yep.
But he can't play the full
game. I don't think he's
going to
start. He's not
going to
start.
Yeah.
The only thing I would say about Pochettino is that we saw in the semis, he is willing to change his style for what the game requires.
And in the quarters. The way he came back to City was the same thing. He changed completely.
And so I would have a lot of confidence in him that even if the game starts in Liverpool's favor, he's going to do what it takes to make sure that game is close. So I don't necessarily see a blowout.
I think Liverpool hates the fact that Ajax is not in the final. For me, if Ajax was in the final, Liverpool would have won it. Now that it's at Tottenham,
I do think
the way that they were able to change their tactics against Ajax and win that in the end, that was impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because that went completely against their style of play normally.
Yeah, because they were doing long
balls.
They were overpassing the midfielder, which was the issue to overcome, despite their good style of football. So now it's gonna be I think it's gonna be tough. I think I'm gonna put a little coin on Tottenham.
And if you're Liverpool, if you're Klopp,
I want them to win it. That's who I want to win it, obviously. But
still, I think they have actually a big shot of winning it. Despite Liverpool being a better team in general on a one game like this.
It feels like an even playing field.
It does.
Like I'm saying Liverpool, but it's an even game. And I'm very interested to watch. And I'm going to be really upset if it turns into be one of those finals. It's just like a really like nil-nil or 1-0.
But I can't see
like
that from happening with those two teams though. None of those two teams have
the
mindset.
But then I feel like I've said that before.
I
and
see
then you
more
go to
like
the
a
final.
3-2 scoreline.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could have
a
crazy
game. I think
they'll
score, but I do think the game will be fairly evenly matched. So, if you're Liverpool right now, if you're Klopp, what are you expecting from Tottenham in this game? Do they go back to their style that they've been using for most of the season? Or do you expect them to come out and sort of use the tactics that they were successful against Ajax with? And try that, knowing that Liverpool's also a team that plays high pressing.
Yeah, but the team is not as good as the midfield compared to Ajax. Ajax, the strong point is in the midfield. Where Liverpool is the wings, like you have Mane and Salah. How do you counter those players, Mane and Salah, that are awful to play against?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not saying that Henderson, Milner, and so on are not bad players. They are not bad players. And Wijnaldum is not a bad player. You saw him the
semi-final.
Excellent. But you do have to counter Salah and Mane. That's the main target. So I don't think it's going to be the same approach. You can't have the same approach. It's a completely different game. They play high-pressing style Liverpool, yes, but it's way faster.
It's a different type of high-pressing.
So, I'm not sure. I think they're going to go back on their on the way they usually
like
play.
I feel like what you would want to do is default to what you usually play and see how it goes.
But they can adapt. Liverpool cannot adapt. And that
Tottenham
can be an issue.
Change. If they think they're not going well, they'll change, which is what we said already.
Mm-hmm.
You would come out with your usual style of play, I feel like, and adapt from there.
Does that give them the advantage then?
Tottenham?
If we're saying that Liverpool, we don't expect to change their style, they're just going to come at you with what
but
they have.
But it just
have.
Depends how good they are at their style.
Well, I mean,
right.
I think we know how good they are at their style, and we know how Tottenham is playing their regular game as well.
But I think it's going to be very dependent. If the thing is that if Mane and Salah have a very good day against any team, it would be an issue. This, how good you can be defensively,
yeah.
how good you move the ball, how good your style is, it's going to be a hell. If they are not on their
early
game... Well,
of course, it's always going to be it's going to be a fight for sure to contain those players.
And who do they have? So it's going to be Daniel Rose on the left, and it's going to be Trippier on the right.
Normally, yeah.
The good thing about those two is that they are very fast players. And they play against Sané and Mané and Salah that are very fast. So they have a shot at it. I don't know. Yeah, I would... I don't know. It's a 50-50, but Tottenham have a real chance. It's going to be tough.
It's probably why that guy's going to say fuck his wife and go. They actually have a chance to win.
So, Elisa, you say Liverpool, despite...
I don't want it to be Liverpool. They've been playing really well.
Okay, so Liverpool...
I want it to be Tottenham, just so we're clear.
Jono?
I honestly don't know. I think it's going to be so incredibly close. I'm going to have to go with penalties on this one.
I'm going to go with Tottenham. It's a perfect tie here. Perfect. Great way to start the podcast.
So
it's not going to be like that all the time.
Who? What do we get? Who wins? Depending on who wins, is there a prize for this? What are we betting?
We should think about that. Oh, is it going to be that type of podcast where people actually have bets and then we lose and then there's going to be something bad happening for the next time?
I mean, I was just thinking of food, but sure, I guess
we can
do
that.
Some other punishment.
Yeah, I'm game. We can do that.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. Okay, we'll think about that. Let's move on to the Europa League final then. A lot to talk about as well. Still is an English final completely. Arsenal, Chelsea and London.
What does this say about the quality of the Premier League right now? Either a lot or we are real lucky in these tournaments.
No, I think for sure it says a lot about the quality of the league being a very, very strong league right now. Overall, probably the strongest league in Europe. And actually, Max, you and I were discussing this the other day. I actually think it can cause a problem for teams moving forward in terms of being able to acquire certain players, because you can no longer now guarantee a star player anything beyond money. You can't say, well, come join us. We're going to pay you all this amount of money that some other team is probably offering you too, but you're going to play Champions League every year. Which team can say that? Yeah. Maybe City. But, I mean, look at the teams who are going to the UEFA Cup next year. Manchester United, Arsenal, Chelsea is there this year. You don't know year from year. So if you're trying to obtain someone like, you know, a superstar player, let's say you're trying to sign Mbappe just for the sake of it, you can't promise him Champions League. Whereas someone like Bayern Munich can.
Or the title.
Yeah.
Or the title for sure.
Rail.
Right,
Bayern,
Juventus can promise these things, but no, the English teams no longer can.
But does that make it more exciting to be to play in the league? Because I mean, if you're going to a team where you're going to win the league every year, is that exciting anymore? All you have is the Champions League.
I think from a fan's perspective, it does.
For a player, he wants to gather as much trophy as possible.
That's true.
Especially the big name players, I think. Yes, they're trying to win as much as they can before their careers are over, and it could be a detriment going forward in the next few years.
Because look at Cristiano Ronaldo, what he cares about his trophies. He doesn't care about being in a club like Manchester United right now that is fighting for the fourth spot.
Mm-hmm.
But why... This is more of an existential question. Why are the trophies the big important thing? I don't get it. Like,
because
I
that's
mean,
what
once
you
win
for.
It, once you win them all at once. Cristiano Ronaldo is going to be remembered no matter what he does at this point.
I
why
think,
does it matter?
I think the people...
Why does he need to add more? The dude's Cristiano Ronaldo. I mean, it's fine.
Yeah, but he wants to be... Well, because he wants to be better than Messi. You have that fight between the two.
Yes.
If Cristiano Ronaldo next the win, win the next World Cup, he will be remembered as the best
See,
ever.
See, I feel like Ronaldo needs a World Cup now. Everything else is eh.
Same thing
he
for
needs
Messi.
The World Cup.
Same thing for Messi.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Remember
if,
that one time they got to the final?
If
and
neither
didn't
of them
win,
win
that was fun.
If neither of them win the World Cup, though, which is likely.
Yeah, Argentina has been looking good. Portugal's never looked
both
good.
Of these players claim to be the best player who's ever kicked the football. They're looking at their records. How many Champions Leagues have you won? How many Ballon d'Ors?
But then I find it so interesting that we think about it's all about the trophies. But look at someone like Steven Gerrard literally never won the league. We still think of him as a good player. Won the Champions League trophy, but never won the league. Hasn't won everything.
I mean, absolutely. And for sure, it doesn't negate who you are. We were talking about Francesco Totti the other day, who I think was fantastic.
He was a great player.
Hardly ever won anything because he was on
Roma.
Yeah, he never left Roma.
It doesn't mean you're not a great player, but... The players want to be remembered for all the achievements that they've had, and when they're being compared to other players, especially if you're talking about someone like Ronaldo, who wants to be said who's, he wasn't only great, but he was the best. Like Max is saying, for them, winning is what's important. And so if you have three teams that are trying to court you, and they're all offering you $10 million a year or whatever it is, you're going to go to the one who's going to play Champions League every year.
But being the best is so subjective. You can never be the best, because then people are going to bring up, oh, well, you never played against, oh, this player who played in the 60s and 70s, and they were obviously better. You can't win that fight. You can't be the best. There's no way.
But you can pad your resume, though. You can definitely pad your resume. And then you also have to think that these are the people who have worked hard all their life to get where they are, and they're obviously very competitive athletes. They want to win, and winning once is not enough for these people.
God, if I was them, I'd hit 30 and retire and just enjoy my fucking life.
Yeah, I agree, but that's maybe why you're not a professional player. But it's the same thing.
And also, I'm a woman, and there are much fewer opportunities for me, but that's fine.
But like, to go back on your point about like the leagues being like this, like, why do you think Hazard is leaving? That's the same thing. Hazard is going to leave for Madrid because he has a shot of winning the championship with them.
It's true.
Not with a club like Chelsea.
Yeah.
So
how much do you think Gareth Bale is shooting himself in the foot right now? Like, left Tottenham to go to Madrid for a Champions League final.
Well, he won two Champions League.
He did.
Or three even. Huh? Three? Yeah, he won three.
He was
Champions
on the
League.
Yeah, he was on the
he won
when
the
they won three
final
in a row.
Well.
Yeah. That's true.
So he didn't do so bad for himself. And one where he actually scored.
But I feel like
he
doesn't have the most respect at Real Madrid either, which
No, but so to go back on that, so the Arsenal Chelsea. I think it's going to be an interesting one. A little stat about the Premier League and the English teams. It's the first time ever that we have three London clubs in a final, in both finals, in the Champions League and the Europa League.
Mm.
That's the first time ever that you have a London club, or the same city, sorry, hosting three teams. You had two teams winning both, two teams from the same city winning both titles with Madrid. Atletico Madrid and Real Madrid.
Oh,
but you
I
never
remember
had
that.
Three teams of the same city.
I mean, it's bizarre to think that like these things are already guaranteed to go to English teams. Champions League, UEFA Cup, they're all going to English teams this year.
Yep. It's done.
That's just how it goes, yeah.
Yep. And then so Arsenal Chelsea, pronostics?
I'm going Arsenal just because fuck you, Max. I think Jonathan and I are both going to support Arsenal very hard right now.
Yeah, also so everyone knows, Max is a Chelsea fan and we don't respect him for it.
No, it's clearly his biggest flaw.
Well, nobody's perfect, right? No, I think Chelsea's gonna... I'm definitely for Chelsea, obviously. The only good thing about Arsenal winning it is that we'll have five English teams in the Champions League next year.
That's true.
If Arsenal wins it, because they get the ticket for the Champions
League.
That's
true.
Yeah.
For the league, it's probably better if Arsenal wins.
Because they ended up fifth, didn't they?
Yeah, that's the only good thing about it.
And then United will be the only big team in England who is not in the Champions League.
Yeah, because he's not saying that, but Juno is also a Manchester United fan.
Fan, but like, fan.
Yeah, in the end, we are
not
more...
Not a huge fan.
In the end, it's more going to be Elisa and I, it's going to be up against him with that topic, because he's not a real fan.
Oh, God, not a...
We've definitions of what a real fan is.
And yours is wrong.
That's possible.
And so
wrong.
How about that Baku
oh my
Baku
God.
Issue?
It's such a stupid thing. Why would you ever put it in Baku?
Yeah, so
I mean,
just to
you
make...
can't predict that Arsenal's going to get to the final and then you get issues like Mkhitaryan. You can't predict that. But the fact that they're coming up is ridiculous. Like, I know he's injured, but imagine you play all season... Imagine you're getting to the final of a major tournament and you can't go because of safety reasons.
Yeah, and John has an interesting point about that. Like,
yeah, this is, I mean, it's one of the reasons why I don't necessarily agree with picking the location of the final for a tournament like this before the tournament even begins. It can lead to situations that, well, like this year, that just are not good for players or even good for the teams in general. It seems to me it'd be, make much more sense if you wait until the two teams are decided and then choose the location for the final. Because,
I mean,
if you look at like the Champions League structure, you're playing two legs against everyone right up until the final. So the two legs are split into two different locations, so it's supposed to be fair. It doesn't happen in the final that way because it's only one game. So let's say the final is determined that it's going to be in England. You have an English team against another team from another country. Well, now they have an advantage, which they're not necessarily supposed to have. Or in a situation like we have this year where we have two English teams, you could then choose to put the final in England for the English fans so that everyone can easily access the game and go see it, rather than have it somewhere that's 2,000 miles away or whatever it is.
The two counterpoints I have to this are, A, scheduling. Places like Wembley, probably booked up months in advance. You've got so many things happening. You've got rugby, I think they play there. You've got all these soccer games Tottenham was using as its home field for months. There are concerts. Like, it's a business and it's a stadium, and you need to book these things. Like, you need to know. To get it for the FA Cup, they schedule the FA Cup months in advance. Fortunately, only English teams play in the FA Cup. You know it's going to be an English team, but scheduling is a real issue. Organizational argument to this is that it's nice to be able to bring these big games to places that wouldn't otherwise get them. Because there are soccer fans everywhere. So the idea of being able to put it in a country that maybe one of its teams wouldn't necessarily get there, that's nice. The issue is when you get it to weird places like Baku. But
But should you take a place that has so many political... that could arise to political issues?
I don't think it should be those places. But I think that being able to service maybe an underserviced place for soccer is a nice idea.
Yeah. And then the other... Like, I like your argument as well, and I do
there
tend
are arguments
to
both
go
sides
to... Yeah, exactly. The only other argument that I have is also it's also really nice for... Let's say it's Madrid that's going to host it.
Mm-hmm.
It does boost your club as Real Madrid or Atletico Madrid to be in that final because you know that you're going to have that advantage. And it's kind of a nice... It's kind of nice.
I mean, it's like
good
the
romance.
World Cup in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The host country is always boosted a little bit, tends to play a little bit better. And I understand that, too. I don't like ending up in these situations where you have a Champions League participant in the final who has home advantage over another team in just a single game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then also where you have situations, you know, like Alyssa's saying, where Mkhitaryan now can't go to the final.
Yeah.
I mean, apparently they're guaranteeing his safety, but can you guarantee someone's safety, right?
Exactly.
This is a 60,000-seat stadium where only 12,000 of the tickets are going to English fans.
It's a risk. It's putting him at risk, and it's putting even the fans at risk. You know, God forbid something happens
during
the game.
Also, can we talk about how no Armenian... Mkhitaryan's been the Armenian player of the year for like 8 years in a row or something ridiculous. He is beloved in Armenia, and they can't go watch him in this final.
Mm-hmm.
It's right next door.
Mm-hmm.
Theoretically, a place they could travel to... Except for political issues,
right.
They would never be allowed in.
Right, so you're
so you could be an Armenian, you could be a British Armenian who loves Arsenal and Mkhitaryan. You could be an Armenian living in any European country, and you can't go to this final to watch potentially one of your favorite players.
Right, so by doing this, you're trying to serve the sport by growing the sport and serving fans in a certain country that might not otherwise get to see a game like this, but then you're also excluding other fans as well. So
is it really worth it?
Yeah, and Mkhitaryan, even if he manages to go there at the end, he will never be in the right mindset.
No.
Because
no.
He's going to be worried.
How could you? Of course.
Anyway.
Yes.
Because you're going to be worried.
Yeah.
So that's an issue, but yeah. So, yeah, we'll see. It's going to be an interesting final.
And they're a host city for Euro 2020, too.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that'll bring its issues. In that
well, you might not have neither Azerbaijan or Armenia in
I don't actually
that.
Know if either of them are in Euro 2020. I don't know where they stand in their groups.
I don't think they have a chance.
And,
like, the chances are very
Azerbaijan
low.
Azerbaijan has made a Euro before. I know that. The only reason I know that Azerbaijan is a country is because they were in a Euro, and I want to say it was 2004.
It could be.
Could be. Can't verify that for you.
It was one of the ones when I was a kid. It was 2004, 2008, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, if you were a kid in 2004, I don't want to hear that.
Yeah, Genoa is also significantly older than us.
Significantly.
You want to know how much kid I was in 2004?
No, I don't. Let's move on.
Let's move on. Interesting final though. Pronostics on that final for you, Elisa? Put your grudge against Chelsea. Like, just,
I know.
Like,
that's what I'm...
Focus on the results, on the team performances. It's not everything is against me.
I was going to say, I think Chelsea might edge them out.
Perfect. That's what I wanted to hear.
Well, as much as it pains me to cheer for Arsenal, I will be cheering for them, but I also think Chelsea probably has a stronger team, and I can see Hazard being the difference in this one.
I was literally going to say Hazard's going, so I think Chelsea might do
and
it. He'll be the fantastic player.
Unless
on
they
the
don't
field.
Start him.
No, but I was. Yeah, that's could be a sorry thing. But
if
no.
They don't start Hazard, it's a wide open game. But if
and
do,
Hazard is going to want to do very, very well. Because
actually, if Hazard doesn't
game.
Start, that would change my prediction completely because I think that would really impact the Chelsea players.
No, Hazard is the difference maker in that. in that game. I completely agree.
Yes.
What fucking manager wouldn't start Hazard at this point? But it could happen. It most ridiculous part of this.
But Jorginho, he's going to play despite having a terrible season. But whatever. Let's move on. Move on to Champions League. That was Champions League Women's Final today.
Yes.
Yeah. The class was... They were in a whole other class.
Oh my God.
It's ridiculous. They outplayed Barcelona the entire game.
Yeah, maybe you can say like the last 20 minutes Barcelona was pushing.
But,
like,
but I mean, let's be realistic. The last 20 minutes, Lyon was just cruising, waiting for the trophy.
Yeah.
Last 20 minutes, they sat back. Yeah, why would they play? They were 4-0 up.
The first half an hour, Barcelona didn't touch the ball. And Barcelona is supposed to be a team that is like moving the ball really well and keeping possession of the ball.
They didn't even have the ball. Couldn't have done it.
And actually, that's what I found very interesting about the first half hour of the game was I thought the Barcelona passing, the movement, the use of space was actually horrendous. And I don't know if that was just because of who they were playing and being outclassed, but a lot of the passes were to the feet of their teammates, and then that player would quickly lose the ball because they had no one to distribute it to.
Yeah.
People were not moving into space to support them. There was not a lot of accuracy with their quick 1-2 passes. A lot of the passes were taking way too long, and then the wrong decisions were being made. It really did not look like tiki-taka football to me at all.
Completely outplayed in every aspect of the game.
The problem for me is that I have no comparison. I've not seen them play before today as a team, the Barcelona team.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had the opportunity. Mm-hmm. So I wonder how different they look for if you're watching week in and week out, if this is like... If you knew going in that they were going to play like this, have they ever come up against a team that's been able to effectively stop them before in terms of playing the style that they want to?
It's a good question. Probably their opponents definitely dictate how much control they're in every week, and they look like a team that's used to being in control. They just weren't today.
Well, in theory, that's how they play. And the style of how the men's play, the women's are trying to apply the same style, and they are known for that as well, to move the ball really well around.
And they didn't do it.
And they just could. But I don't think it's that they didn't do it. They couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because Lyon was all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
They were everywhere. They had no space to be in.
They also had subpar performances from, I think, some of their big players. Like, if you look at Martins today, who I know set up the last goal with a nice ball at the very end. But really, before that, didn't accomplish anything for me. I didn't see her really look dangerous at all. And that's one of your big players, your key players that you're going to looking for in this game to make an impact. And she just wasn't there.
No,
I think the lone bright spot for me was Tony Dugan, or Duggan. Sorry, I'm not sure how to pronounce that.
She was, and then you had Oshuala when she came. When
she
came,
she
on
had the pace.
Yeah.
She was good.
She had a bit of a spark
space
at the end.
She was good. She scored the goal, and she deserved that goal because
she
had a lot of chances. And like
she
had,
fought hard for that goal.
That's what it is. I like the energy that she had.
Yeah, she
to the
came
rest
on
of the
and
team.
She raced it up a bit for sure. So you wonder why she wasn't starting from the beginning.
Kind of agree with that. And then, but then you had very strong performances from the Lyon players.
Oh,
like
Lyon
was amazing today.
Like,
they came in, they knew what they wanted to do, and they did it perfectly.
Yeah.
They definitely did it. And like the performances, like Van der Sanden, that has like 2 assists in the first 2 goals.
Mm-hmm.
On the wing, she was unstoppable.
Oh, they all day they had trouble containing her. She was getting behind the defense, had lots of space.
They were giving her so much time to cross the ball. That third goal that I came and saw, she had miles of space.
She had miles of space.
And that actually was happening the whole game. Also from the other flank as well, I saw the Barcelona defense was having a lot of trouble stopping the passes and the crosses coming into the box
from
the
wide
areas.
Yeah.
The same thing like a girl like Jenny Le Sommer. Which was had her first year's birthday. She didn't score on that game, but she should have scored first. And then she was exceptional.
Oh, that beautiful
play.
Link up where she passed, where it went across the bar.
Yeah,
that was a great play. I wish that had gone in.
Yeah.
That would have been a good birthday.
And then the player of the match, like you have to special mention for Hegerberg.
She was so good.
I mean, 3 chances, 3 goals,
4 attempts, 3 goals in the first 30 minutes.
There you go.
Yeah.
But that says it all, no?
And I think, you know, we could probably speculate that she didn't keep pushing after that, but maybe could have had a few more if Lyon still had their foot on the gas.
Yeah.
But definitely a special player today. Finished really well.
Showed why she won the Ballon d'Or.
Yeah. And now it's been 4 Champions League in a row for Lyon. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, in the last 9 Champions League, Lyon were in the final 7 times.
There's no one to compete.
No.
That's a crazy amount of
time. I am curious when you brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
How they would play against the American women's teams.
Yeah.
I wonder if the same gulf is there in terms of class.
Yeah. In Europe, you definitely have a gulf. And you have, but it's weird because you had teams that were like that were pushing a lot, like Wolfsburg in like two or three years ago. But the gap now with Lyon is enormous. And you might have like some English teams that are trying to push up now, like Chelsea was in the semi-final, Arsenal is like very good.
Arsenal's always had good
Manchester United is starting
City
to put money on it,
team.
City has a good team. Maybe it's going to have the same effect as in the Premier League, like they're going to start pushing.
Has Lyon had a team for longer than most of the other clubs? Is that why they have such a dominant program?
Yeah, basically Lyon, the owner always, his dream was to win the Champions League. He never could do it with the men's,
so he
invested in the women heavily.
Shout out to that guy, I like that idea.
And it's good, and he made, I think overall Lyon is a very good thing for women's soccer in general, because like you see like
having a team like Lyon is good.
Well, and seeing that a team can play like that, I mean, you watch them play today and they look like a lot of very strong men's teams in Europe. Like, it was a dominating performance from the front to the back. I mean, their center back was fantastic today.
Wendy Renard?
Positioning was excellent, making clearances like crazy, winning all the headers.
She just looked so calm.
And you never looked frazzled at all.
There was a comment on the TV saying like how she looked like Van Dijk.
Van Dijk,
and
before Van Dijk did it,
does.
I was just about to say
that.
Yeah. Yeah, the commentator was like, yeah, she was Van Dijk, but she's been doing it for longer than anyone's noticed Van Dijk.
And it's true. She definitely is. And she's considered as the best defender in the world for the moment. And I think she's going to be a strong asset for France in the World Cup.
Mm-hmm. Whose team is, I didn't realize, is got a real fighting chance. They're second or third, right?
They're really good. No, France
has if their men's and their women's just swept these World Cup? I mean, they had the home advantage, too.
That would break my heart.
They're fourth, okay.
That would break my heart. But, no,
it would break your heart. I'd be interested in seeing it, though.
But no,
She was miles ahead.
No, she was miles away. You had Eugenie Le Sommer that was in there. Like, you have, like, very, very
They have
players.
A lot of Lyon players on their World Cup roster, too, already.
And
which
is actually
will
an
help
advantage.
Them in the World Cup as well.
Because they
not
know how
just
to
having
play
the
together.
Quality, but exactly the players who have played
three
together.
Of,
and
three of the four players you said I should watch. Or you said we should watch out for come from Lyon.
Yeah.
And players who not only are playing together, but have played in big games now, and have been successful in big games, know how to handle the pressure.
But I really hope that it's going to be a tight World Cup in a sense that the level is not going to be too different between all the teams. And I hope, because that's going to be a good indicator for the moment. USA way above
everyone else.
But you have teams like France, you have teams like Canada, you have teams that can maybe challenge them.
Germany is actually ranked second.
The captain is actually plays for Lyon and had
not surprising, and
scored the first goal. So you have like a lot of fighting chances from other teams.
Yeah,
I think so. Even the Netherlands have some star players on them who can make a difference. They could be kind of the dark horse in this tournament.
Well, Van der Sanden was here the best example, and you have Van der Sanden on one side and Lieke Martens on the other side,
and Vivian Medima had a great league season this year. I think
scored more than 30 goals now, I think.
I believe so, led her league in scoring. And then they also have that playmaker from Arsenal ladies, Van de Donk, I think her name is. So I mean, they're a team that could very well score a lot of goals in this tournament and cause some teams trouble. And then, of course, we have the U.S., who we haven't discussed yet. But
and they won the Euro. They won the Euro 2 years ago. It was Holland that won the Euro.
Was it?
Yeah, European Championship was won by the Netherlands. So you have a lot of teams that can.
So it could be a very interesting tournament.
There are a lot of good teams in this tournament. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Honestly, anyone in the top like seven.
Same. It's just a bit of a shame that Hegerberg is not playing in it.
But. I know.
Yeah, and as we were discussing a little bit earlier, I mean, if Norway is able to have a very strong tournament, play well, and get into one of the big games, like a semi-final, that could really show the sort of difference that losing a player like that will make.
Yeah. No, it's going to be definitely interesting. We'll discuss definitely more about the World Cup in the upcoming weeks, because that's going to be our main focus, definitely. The big thing that is happening in the next month. I think it's June 7 until July 7.
Yeah.
If I'm mistaken.
Yeah. I'm excited. I want to know what Canada's squad is. I mean,
I don't think
there's going to be anything different than what you would imagine. But
yeah. Canada is one of the only teams that hasn't announced their team yet. I think there's like 7 teams that haven't announced yet.
Yeah.
Christine Sinclair will probably be on it.
They're not going to not take their captain.
It's impossible.
That's impossible.
She just scored one and assist one in their friendlies against Mexico.
No, they won 3-0. I don't know who was the third one.
She was off at that point. Because she subbed at like 75th or something.
So she's ready.
Oh, she's definitely ready. God, she's definitely ready. Okay, so now last point of the day, we've had like the last winners of the leagues today that were decided. We had
Bayern and Benfica.
Yeah, Bayern Munich that won today. I don't know how Dortmund didn't win that league, because that was the year they should have done it. I think it's interesting stat with Liverpool and Dortmund.
Do they always come second?
No, but the one thing is that they both had 10 and 7 points margin in winter, and in the end both of them lost it. So Liverpool, you can't really say that they lost it. It's more Manchester City that won it. But for Dortmund, they really squandered it. They had the chance to win it, and then in the end, they completely fell apart.
Yeah, I'm surprised Bayern won in the end. But
same, especially they had a lot of issues with Niko Kovac, the new coach. And
yeah.
So it's a bit of a surprise. Then Benfica won it today.
Against,
but anyway,
Porto.
It's always like this. Either Porto or Benfica, and I think last year Sporting won it. But in general,
Porto.
Not surprising.
And Juve won in Italy. Shocking.
In a shocking turn.
But Allegri got fired despite doing...
Finally, someone was listening to
Jonathan's
ranting
for the last
thoughts.
Year or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Start Dybala.
Well, he's not
game.
That happy, though, because now Dybala is going to stay in Juventus.
Yeah, actually, for me, it's not a good thing, but it's great for all of the Juventus fans.
You
absolutely. But I feel like, you know, talking about Allegri can be a whole other show. Because I would just start ranting and never stop.
Be on Jonathan's own personal show for 2 hours. At
least. You can do a spin-off already.
It'd be great. Let me tell you, it really would.
Be great. Otherwise, other ones that won, like Ajax, they won the double. Fully deserved
Good.
The
they
season
deserve
that they've had. It was actually not really tight on because PSV was actually there. I think there's only 3 points margin in the end.
Yeah, I remember seeing some comments that PSV fans were just being like, you know what, you guys deserved it this year, but it was close. But Ajax's team this year was just incredible to watch.
Yeah. Based on how they played in the
Champions League,
and I watched quite a few of their knockout games, I'm glad they won something this year.
It makes me really happy to see Daley Blind there doing well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I only really wish him well in life.
Yeah,
it's kind of nice to see him go home and have some success.
He didn't have that bad of a period spell in Manchester.
No,
I don't think
fine.
He was
he
that
wasn't
bad.
Amazing.
No, but like
the
most
Dutch
of the
league
squad.
Versus the Premier League, there are some differences, and I don't know if he was the best at adapting to them. But I think he's a good player.
But you have a lot of players that were in the Premier League, like for example, Tadic as well. Like he didn't do well at all.
No, he didn't. He played terrible, and then went back to Ajax.
And now he's one of the
yeah.
best players in the world, considering. So
he was very impressive
in the
championship.
Yeah.
From what I saw, he was making some great little flicks onto other forwards running into the box. Very hard to contain for the defenses.
It was really impressive.
Yeah.
Other notable champions, Barcelona.
Yeah, nothing interesting there.
No,
I mean,
Madrid was
dreadful.
That was
mostly because of Madrid, was it not?
And then they just rehired Zidane.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward for the transfer window for both of those clubs.
Oh, yeah. Madrid's going to go...
Well, we know they're getting Hazard.
Oh yeah,
which is gonna
most probably
which is going to help them tremendously.
Yeah, but like Barcelona have
they're
hired.
They're getting rid of a couple people too, aren't they? Because Bale's 13, gone.
13 players on the to-go list.
See,
yeah.
For me, I don't understand that decision to bring Hazard in and get rid of Bale. Would you not want them both playing on each flank? I mean,
but him and Zidane don't get along, do they? Hasn't that been a thing for years?
I mean, I don't know. I'm not really sure.
What he
I've
did
heard
say
that for
yes.
years. Yes. That he just doesn't like Bale, but then Real Madrid weren't letting him sell him.
Which
so
makes
one
sense.
Of the
they
things about
so
him
much
coming
money
back,
on it.
Yeah, one of the things I think for him coming back is he was allowed to sell Bale. I think that was a thing.
But it's not even that he is allowed to do anything that he wants.
Yeah.
So now he's coming back.
He's got the money
with like
to do.
I can see him agreeing to that kind of deal.
And
could
we,
you imagine
and
being
otherwise
in that position
not
of power? Like you
I
left
definitely
us,
can.
Now we're shit. We give you all the money.
I can definitely imagine that position.
And
I
so
would
they
love
have
it.
And they have 400 million to spend. And even with those 400 million that they would spend, they would have no issues with FIFA regulations.
Hmm.
Like nothing. It's like they can spend 400 million.
That's not including whoever they're going to sell as well.
Yes.
Right.
So financial fair play is not an issue if they spend 400 million.
Do you see them splashing a lot of cash?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Or they're going to revamp all the team.
There are 13 players on their to-go list.
Yeah.
They have to at that point.
So they're going to buy a striker because Benzema is getting old.
Yeah.
They're going to buy a midfielder. The same thing, Modric and Kroos are getting older.
Yeah.
So it might be Jovic most probably.
Are they not going to play Isco and Asensio in the midfield?
Isco is actually might be one of them on the to-go list.
Oh, see, for me, that's a mistake.
For me,
he's
a
fantastic
mistake.
Player. He's Spanish. Why would you ever do that?
For me, that's a mistake as well. And then for Barcelona, they've agreed Frankie de Jong, De Ligt, it's almost done.
Very smart moves for Barca, I think.
Same, and Griezmann.
Yes, finally Griezmann is leaving his beloved Atletico.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Simeone is
going to... Can't wait for the announcement video for that.
Yeah, that's going to be a piece
of...
Sorry,
I'm never
going
to forget that. That stupid documentary he did to just say he was staying.
That's really cool.
Classic.
But honestly, I think the De Ligt and the De Jong moves are very smart long-term planning for Barcelona. Looking at guys like Busquets and Piqué, who are, you know, still effective right now, but in the next few years, you're going to be phasing
less
out.
So, yeah.
Bringing in young players who already have a decent amount of experience and played fantastically in the Champions League this
they
year.
They already have the Barca mentality.
Yeah.
Basically,
yeah.
Ajax and Barca are the
basically
the same club.
Yeah.
So they
perfect
really
decisions. Yeah.
Really good move. I agree. Well, and then the last champion was City, I guess. I don't think any of us wants to talk about that.
No,
one, right?
We can just gloss over that.
Because they also won the FA Cup today, casually 6-0.
I mean, they were playing Watford.
Yes, let's not give
Watford,
them too much
but
credit.
But they were playing Watford.
But 6.
Sure.
When you have to do that in the final, no? And Watford had the chance to go 1-0 up. Same thing, like
right at the beginning too. But then they would have had to hold on for 90 minutes.
And it
would
have been tough. But the resiliency of City was quite impressive because when they went,
they've done the domestic travel now, haven't they?
They did.
Sir Alex always said that you can do the domestic travel.
I guess even him was wrong.
He was wrong. City have done it. Of course, it was Pep.
Well, he won the real treble, so
it's true. He won the better one, but he did. There's a quote. There's him on quoted saying that he thinks the domestic treble would be harder to do. I don't know what his rationale behind that was, because the League Cup is what? It's the League Cup. It's nothing, right? It's
well, Pep did lose the only trophy that he wanted to win, though.
He did, which is what I care about.
So, because he's
only
there.
If they had done the quadruple, I would not be in this conversation right now. I'd be so done with soccer at this point. If they had won the quadruple, fuck that.
We would not be here.
All the things that City stand for, I hate. There's nothing against City fans. I hate the big money that comes in and just makes a club out of... Drives me nuts.
Because that's why she loves Chelsea as well.
I was just about to say, that's what happened to Chelsea a few years ago as well.
I know,
so.
I hate it.
But now we can't...
Why do you think my dad and I still call him Chelsky?
Yeah, but we can't spend any more money now. Because we are banned for 1 year.
Good.
Did you see City might get kicked out of the Champions League, though?
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
They're going to appeal the decision, but...
But it might happen for the first time. A big club is going to be suspended from... any European
if I had to choose one
and
club
for
that to
money.
Happen to
that's right.
That would be the club.
Shady money, young transfers for young players,
shady
money. So that's going to be interesting.
Oh, it breaks my heart.
I want to see what happens with that decision. That's going to be a fight between City and the league if they do that, or not the league, UEFA.
Well, it's going to be and I wonder
fight.
Also what are going to be the repercussion of that, because Guardiola might leave because of that. Players
yeah,
might
play
don't want to sign.
Exactly.
I've actually heard rumors that Guardiola is leaving anyway. So
at the end of the year now?
Yes.
But he does that, yeah.
That
I
could
mean,
definitely
he doesn't stay
put
long.
The nail in
how
the
long? He's been at City for longer than most places already.
Honestly,
years,
I can't. For him, I kind of understand that. I'm sure he gets bored. Right?
Yeah.
He moves in somewhere, he instills his style of play, which takes a few years. His team's become very successful. And then he needs a challenge. For him to stay at City now would be get boring.
So he
but
could
maybe
go to Juventus.
But maybe his next challenge is to consistently win.
But he does
right?
consistently win. The only thing he doesn't consistently win is the Champions League, which nobody does.
Except Zidane.
I'm pointing at Max. You can't see it, but he's got a fucking point.
Zidane did do it. He took over a fantastic team.
He did.
Which I made.
His record is like nuts. I really wish he had stayed in retirement and just been an anomaly in every stat ever. Of hey, I won 3 in a row. Fuck you guys. Let's do this.
But I do have to put an asterisk next to that because I feel like I could have won 3 Champions Leagues in a row with that Real Madrid team.
Yeah.
So it'll be
interesting
to see what he does next.
Yeah.
Because this is his version of the Real Madrid team. Yeah.
Yes, and with the changes.
He loses in like the first, like gets knocked out of the group stage of the Champions League. That would be funny.
I did wish that he had changed clubs though. Because like, for example, Juventus that now is available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would have been...
more interesting.
And a nice fit because he used
to
play for Juventus as well.
And they love him.
Yes.
Over there, everybody loves him.
It'll be interesting to see if Pep ends up going there.
Those are the rumors I've heard. Those are the rumors I've heard, actually.
And that would be a strong challenge for him, because the Juventus style is completely the opposite of his style. Let's see if he's able to actually put his style.
Mm-hmm.
On
him and
that
Ronaldo
team.
Could be an interesting pairing too.
That would be a weird one.
It's gonna be
because the one thing about Guardiola, though, now you maybe it's rumors only, but I've heard that Guardiola, he doesn't like players that stands up to him. He wants to be the center of attention. He doesn't like players that have too big of an ego,
and
which
that's
could
Ronaldo
be a big issue with Cristiano Ronaldo.
I mean, there's Juve, and then there's Juve and Cristiano Ronaldo. He is always the asterisk on every team he plays on.
Yep. Yeah. And you have really good examples. Ibrahimovic didn't work.
No, that was terrible.
That was terrible.
I read his book recently. I mean, Ibrahimovic wrote a book,
ghostwritten.
But his comments on Pep were bad.
Yaya Touré.
Yeah.
Same thing. Awful. So there's a lot of examples like with Guardiola. And I don't think that Guardiola is a good fit for Cristiano Ronaldo.
I want to see it happen, though. I think that would be interesting.
But then again, too, how long is Cristiano going to be in Juve, given his age?
Yeah.
That's true.
He only has 1 or 2 years left. Maybe a bit more, but like at his level, next year or the next 2 years is going
to
be.
I feel like we've been saying about that about Ronaldo for a couple of years now. Oh, he's going to start to get worse. He's going to start to decline.
Yeah,
and
he's still here.
He's still.
I mean, it is going to happen. He's working to delay it as hard as, you know, anybody. Anyone you talk to, they tell you he works harder than anyone on the team. And you can see videos of that on YouTube. It's easy enough to find. But age catches up with everyone.
Yeah.
He will slow down at some point. I mean, he's already changed his style of play from what it was when he played on the wing. But at some point, he will also be the guy who's not winning all the headers and not beating defenders and finishing.
Okay, on that note, it's time for us to say goodbye. We'll come back next week. Thanks, Elisa.
Anytime.
Thanks, Jono.
Thank you.
And,
looking forward to the next one.
And same. Looking forward to the next one. Don't forget, you can follow us in any podcast platform that you might find. And make sure to like us, subscribe.
Subscribe to our channel.
Subscribe to our channel. I don't know really. We don't really know how that works yet, but
just tune in if you're having fun.
Exactly.
That's
just
basically it.
See you next week. See you, everyone.